reason. Okay, we're up to Perek Mem Hey. We are in the middle of Pasuk Tes Vav. Okay, let's read the Pasuk, last Pasuk of the section. The last Pasuk said, V'se'achas menatzoyin min hamosayin mimashkei Yisrael lemincha ul'oyla v'lishlamim l'chaper aleihem nu'um Hashem l'kim. So this Pasuk is a very unusual Pasuk. It describes that the Jewish people will all give the Tamim Mashiach a seh, one sheep, achas lashon nekeva, min hatzoyin, from their sheep, min hamosayin, which means one out of 200. If a person has in their possession 200 sheep, then the obligation begins. You must give one out of 200. That would seem to imply that if you do not own 200 sheep, you're off the hook.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah?
Just remind me, you did say that there's a lot of economics mentioned here.
Yes.
It's assumed that you'd be an agrarian economy.
Yeah.
And that's, which was understood then, but is that going to... would that even apply? Since most people are not farmers.
In a chnami, so it would seem to imply that they don't. If you do not have, you do not own. If in your parking lot,
like that's the norm for everything. Like,
I hear what you're saying. It's a mystery. You're right. It's like today. If you have in your driveway 200 cars, so give one car to the melech. Give one car. Who has 200 cars in their driveway? Okay, you're lucky if you have even a jalopy in your driveway. Okay, and almost no one today owns a car. Everyone today leases a car. So, what does this mean? This outstanding ashirus. Everyone is going to be married to have a 200 sheep. That's a lot. So if you give, so obviously, maybe we're dealing over here with the taxing the super rich.
That's another thing. Yeah, 1%. Is this the middle class, the upper
class? So it seems like in Echnani, these are all very interesting ideas. Maybe this, that's a very big debate.
Maybe in the Kabbalists, we don't think about it. Maybe that was the upper class who
brought the Kabbalists. Kabbalists are very expensive.
A little guy couldn't afford it.
Couldn't afford a shawl.
Just to make the trip over.
Exactly.
Maybe it was
like, yeah, but a carbon times is an obligation. A person has no choice. Well, the carbons we're relatively cheap. A carbon Pesach, everyone had to participate in the carbon Pesach. A seh appears not to have been the most expensive animal, but an ayil is more expensive, and a par is very expensive.
Right.
So when you bring a par, a person is very, very wealthy, wants to bring a carbon oil to Hashem, a carbon shlom, the par, that's a big deal. I mean, today a par cost, I don't know, remember Mayevsky told us...
Par anyway.
What?
There was a authorized par collection. Because they had to watch it.
Right.
So you didn't bring your own animal anyway.
It's not clear. All right. It could be. It all depends on the times.
Right.
They were different. The Jewish history is long. It's a mystery. We have no record at all what happened during the time. Okay, so we don't really know what happened. Okay, but you're right. It's saying, talking. If you want to go say this was tax. We had this discussion. We're going to see the Radak to wind down this idea. But you're right. What is this pasuk discussing? If you learn like those who mafarshim, this was a tax. It was a tax to the melech. Everything here, all the numbers over here are very, very unusual. 1 in 60, 1 in 200. Okay, we had some very funny numbers. Only wheat and barley and oil. What happened to the other shivas haminim? What's going on over here? So Rashi and the Mitzudas tried very, very hard to teach us that we're dealing over here with what? With ordinary laws of the Torah, regular laws of the Torah, and we're not discussing anything special. And at the very end, Rashi did cave in. Rashi and the Mitzudas did, I think Rashi also. There's no way to make sense of this Pasuk 1 in 200. It has to be that we're dealing over here with a special korban that's going to be offered to inaugurate the Bayis Shalishi. Oz Egmar Bashir Mizmar Chanukas HaMizbeach. It's very interesting. The Chanukas HaMizbeach is done how? With a 1 in 200. Okay, a sheep, a seh, a female seh, that will be given from your assets 1 in 200. However, other commentators understand that this is not a korban, this is a tax. It's a tax to who? To the melech. all of the psukim until now is not dealing with korbanos. We're not dealing with inaugural korbanos. The inaugural korbanos we've learned before in the previous parak, that was part of the miluim. There was a shor and a par for 7 days. The common man does not participate in the inaugural korbanos of the mizbeach. So these psukim here we learned yesterday is a tax to the melech for, you know, government, for to keep the government running. Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam also needs a pension. So when it says here 1 in 200, who has 200? Is this coming to teach us that there is such an idea of giving a tax to the super rich? Okay, lahavdil elif alfa v'lasher mechol sashing upon, is that, you know, in economics, every president, when they have an agenda, they present their plan. So that's always part of the, it's always a very big issue. How will the super duper rich, how will they be taxed? It's not fair. America, capitalism, everyone is the same. It's not, you can't go charge just because they're successful, you have to take all their money. You gotta go charge them 40% tax. Just because someone's a bacher and doesn't have a family, you gotta go charge them, you gotta go charge. I used to pay tax, like outrageous taxes years ago when I was making money. I was paying like 40%. Why? Because I wasn't married. I like the way it just worked out. It doesn't pay to work. you have to pay to go to work. It was ridiculous. Now I don't have that problem anymore. But I hope I should have that problem. But in any event, I'm not giving up yet. But. Here you see over here an idea. You know, it's an interesting idea, Makar, that if this indeed is, if this interpretation is valid, I am panim l'tara, it's taxes, and we're telling you give 1 in 200. Well, how many people have 200 sheep? Doesn't seem like the average person has in their possession 200 sheep. So it seems that indeed there is something to it in the times of Mashiach to put a tax on the super duper rich.
But is it proportional if you have less than, if you have 20 sheep?
No, it's not.
A half a percent, that's what it works
out. No, you can't go give an arm of an seh. You can't go give a leg of a seh. You give the whole seh.
It's
either you got it, right. It's not proportional. It would seem to say that you get... Okay, maybe you'll go. You can play around with it. Any event.
We taught that the period in the first place, where our success was.
Ish tachas gafna ichash teinosai. It doesn't mean every single person. It cannot be that every single person was a multimillionaire. It just cannot be. Even though Shlomo, it says he made stone, he made gold was like stone. The streets of Yerushalayim were paved in gold.
Isn't that our blessings in the Torah, that we're going to follow the Torah 100% and we're going to just
maybe, I don't know, I really don't know. Maybe, but it does seem to be a little bit of a stretch. Every single person is going to have an infinite amount of money.
That's the only reason I'm sticking around.
Don't believe everything you read.
I believe nothing, but you know, this is...
I really don't know. I don't know. Okay, let's see. I just want to finish up this very interesting radak. Okay, let's see about the radak. No, let's maybe just one, we have to wind down this radak. The radak we were discussing, Mimashke Yishol men from the best. We learned very interesting interpretations. Mimashke either means to review, means wise for the best. Radak taught us a beautiful interpretation. It means from the fat animal, because a fat animal has a lot of marrow. And marrow is mashke. Mimashke Yisrael, the reason why the word mashke Yisrael means a fat animal is because can fat animals that are very robust have lots of marrow. There's mashke, a thin, emaciated animal. If you break open its bones, you're not going to find any marrow. There's no mashke. So that's, it's a borrowed term to refer to a delicious fat animal. Or it means simply, mimashke means that it have, everything has to be kosher. Everything must be under the hashgacha of the best hashgacha agency, because it has to be that if you were to eat this yourself, you would be permitted to do so. It's a su'uda. The word mashke yishol is a su'uda, because I can find my purim. The su'das purim was called al shem ha-mashke. The hash-siyah chados
ein anis. The hashgacha in the base of Mikdash was probably eid echa nem b'suri.
Eid echa nem, I'm saying there was no hashgacha. Because Mikar HaDin, the truth is, you don't need hashgacha. If you go into a store and the balabas tells you, it's kosher, trust me. Eid echad neman bi'isurin. The meat is kosher, the food is kosher, me'ikar hadin, you're allowed to believe him. But why don't we do that? Why has that not worked out very well for us? Okay, Hamev and Yavim.
But in the Beis HaMikdash, who gets the cow from the authorized person? The Kohen Shechter.
Right. And then they did.
Who decided if it was a good Shechita or not?
I guess, I don't know. You're asking very good. We don't have a record of how things were done.
And no one came and said, I'm the Mashgiach, I'm the Batatz, I'm the Baba.
Maybe there was. I'm going to say something. The Beis HaMikdash was in existence for Bayis Sheni for 420 years. Bayis Shishin 410 years. Mishkan Shil 369 years. We don't know the system. It doesn't say anywhere what the system was. It could very well be there were different periods of time. There were some periods of time where people were trusted. The Kohanim were not nechshad. They were tzadikim gemurim. And when they did a shechita, you trust them. They say it's good, it's good. That's it. Zehu. It could very well be there were other times when there were problems and there was a need for the Kohanim, the Var HaKohanim, to appoint a Mashgiach. There was Mashgiach watching and testing, giving bechinas to the Kohanim to make sure they knew the laws of shechita, and they oversaw what was taking place just like there is today. It could very well be that there was such a system in place. It depended upon the Tekufa. We really do not know. I've never seen any record. There are no records. Even Josephus. Everything Josephus says is choshot. Everything he says is suspect. We don't even know how true it is because he was commissioned by the Romans to write whitewash his history to make it look good. And we don't know. Maybe they tampered with what he wrote. So we really don't know. So we have a little bit of a remnant only from Josephus, and that's the tail end of the Bayis Sheni. Before the tail end of the Bayis Sheni, we have mamish no clue. There's not even one record. It's a pella. There's not even one record of what went on in the Beis HaMikdash. No one described to us was the menorah round, was the score on an angle. It's nothing. Absolutely nothing. I mean, the v'lechem apanim, was it round? Was it square? All the different issues. There's so many different issues. Nothing. That's how it is. Okay. But in any event, let's see what the Radak. Radak is in Per Pasuk Tezvav. We're in the middle of Virashi Zal Perash. Okay, Virashi Zal Perash. Can you find that in your edition? I don't have your edition, but it's a Pasuk Tezvav. It's probably about halfway through. Halfway through Pasuk Tezvav in the Radak. No, thank you very much. Okay, great. Mem Hei. Pasuk Tezvav, Radak, Tezvav, Mimashke Yisrael. Okay, page Tof Resh Dalet. Okay, Tof Resh Dalet on the column on the right side, in the middle, Virashi Zal Perish Onion. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom. Okay, 6 lines from the bottom. So Rashi explains, Perish Onion at Zilichol Truma Shirim Li Yisrael Mitvu Oysam. The Radak just finished telling us that this entire section was a special chinuch. It was a special inaugural carbon that every common man will bring to the Beis HaMikdash a one-time deal to inaugurate the Bayis Shlishi Chanukah. Us Egmor Beshir Mizmor Chanukah Samizbeach. Rashi says no. Everything over here was l'chayin azel l'chol truma shiyirimu yisrael mitvu oisam from their grain hanikreis truma gedoyla. Everything here was, going back to the psukim before, when we gave the grain, the wheat, the barley, and the oil, this was the regular standard laws of truma that are found in the Torah. Umash amar shishis, the shishisem, utruma. How could it then the pasuk say this is a very big difficulty? Because the pasuk says you're supposed to give truma a sixth of an ephah, which comes out to 1/60th for wheat, and a sixth of an ephah for barley. Again, that's also 1/60th. But the halacha min haTorah is chita achas poiteres esakri. You only have to give a mashu. So Yecheskel here is contradicting what it says in the Torah. The numbers of 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th, that's a later invention by Chazal. That came into existence way, way after Yecheskel died. So Yecheskel already is teaching us the laws that you have to give one midrabban, to give 1/60th, an ayin raw gives from his grain and wheat 1/60th. That's not reasonable. These numbers, 1/60th, 1/50th, 1/40th, came into our halacha, Shulchan Aruch, much later. This that it says shishis v'shishisam, which, but problem is, how can Rashi say that? He's questioning Rashi. Utruma ein lo shir min haTorah. Hari amru rabbi say nuzal. So Rashi came to answer his own question. In Echnami, over here is a source, an asmachta for the halacha that the rabbanu will later on teach. Ayin ra'ah echad mi shishim, an ayin ra, someone who's cheap and stingy, he gives from his grain 1 in 60 to a kohen. So the Radak says, va'ani tomea, I'm shocked. Al perusho, how can Rashi say this? Ki achas shatumah min atoira ein lo shiur, el lechit achas bateres esakri, min atoira you give a mashu, ma bo yichezke lohoiros ayin ra. So first of all, in general, Yecheskel was teaching us the dinim derabanan. That's not usual. Dinim derabanan came into existence much, much later on. Even if there were customs to do certain things in a certain way, it's not recorded. It's not really the first time these things are codified. They're put into writing was in the time of the Mishnais. You don't find Nevi'im telling you dinim derabanan. Just not done. If you'll tell me that they did that Shlomo HaMelech, he was Mesakein and Tilas Yadayim. That's a legend. You're not going to find a pasuk anywhere in Tanakh that Shlomo HaMelech, when he woke up in the morning, he had a negel vasa by his bed and he washed the tilas yadayim b'seilugin 3 times, 4 times, like the Arizal, who didn't exist yet, right? And he lifted up his hand and he said, "Su yideichem kodesh l'Hashem." What? He did all these things and he washed. Shlomo HaMelech was Mesakein the Tilas Yadayim. It's tradition. It's a legend. Is you going to find it in writing somewhere? You're not going to find it in writing. You find Shulchan Aruch because it's 1700s.
So who wrote it before him?
No one wrote it before him. That's exactly the point. No one wrote it before him. So here Rashi is telling us that the halach of giving 1 in 60 already is written in Yecheskel. It's very far-fetched to say that. Also, if once you're going to tell, okay, fine, you want to say this is an exception, but Ayin Ra'ah, you have nothing better to tell me about the stingy people. You should tell me the more generous people. So what's going on over here? That's why
isn't this one of the reasons why Yecheskel was not accepted into
they wanted to ban it.
They wanted to take him in.
Yes.
Because of this.
Yes. There are many, many reasons. There are many psukim. In fact, the Radak or the Malam actually quotes that Chazal soon towards the end of this entire thing. It's funny that we went to the very, very end to say that. Mm-hmm. Is that basically this perek, one pasuk after the other, we struggle, and because of all the difficulties, they wanted to put Sefer Yecheskel in Geniza, part of the Dead Sea Scrolls. They would have found the Dead Sea Scrolls, and it would not have been part of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. There would only be 23 Sifrei Tanakh, or maybe they would take, if there had to be 24, so they would take another Sefer from the Apocrypha. They would take another Sefer and make that part of the Tanakh, but not Yecheskel, because Yecheskel is too problematic. But we have to thank Chizkiah ben Goron. I think that was his name, Chizkiah ben Goron. He went up and he burnt the midnight oil. And he figured out all of the inconsistencies, all the contradictions, and he was able to resolve all the problems. And that's why we have the benefit of having Sefer Yecheskel as part of this Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. And that's why we're here today. Baruch Hashem, what?
Did he figure out this one?
I guess so. We don't have all the details. We don't have all the details. We don't have all the details. So the question over here is, Mabu Yecheskel l'chores ayin ro, hayil l'chores habein oinis. Shehu echad men hachamishim. Od lam zoch achitim usayim. Why only mention wheat and barley levad? V'zoch ha-shem levad l'mais. And then when it comes to the willows of mais, we only mention oil. Hayil l'chores mar dogon v'tirosh. We should mention grain, tirosh. Tirosh is oil, wine. So wine. What happened to wine? What happened to giving maaser on wine? Tirosh is wine. These are oil. Kamo shakosav batayra. Ella. Therefore, what then does the Radak say? Shal pi hadibur omar hakol v'yeh kein laosid v'zochar shemen. Everything over here was alpi ruach hakodesh v'zochar shemen v'adin l'shor hamashkin. So he's not really telling us a malach and Rashi. He's just telling us Rashi is problematic. And Rashi, for whatever reason, this is Alpi Ruach HaKodesh. Yecheskel, for whatever reason, only mentions Chuma, wheat, and barley. Ma'aser only mentions oil. But it has to be that the laws apply across the board. And why does he mention a 60th? It's not clear. He's not giving us an answer. This is Alpi Ruach HaKodesh, Alpi HaDibor. This is what he taught, Klal is teaching us. And the reason, I guess, will become clear when Mashiach comes. Then we'll say, oh, it was so simple. Now we understand it's so obvious why Yecheskel had to mention these specific things, even though the Torah mentions a lot more. The time will come and we'll understand this. Then he just goes on to finish up the drashas. Dealing with liquid. Liquid, two types of liquid, is wine and wine of Arla, the first 3 years, and the wine of Shemen also. wine of Arlo Kiliakedim, which fell into the bar, which is forbidden, and now it is a taruvis of wine that is not forbidden. What is the sheer bittul? The sheer bittul is 1 in 200. Very big chumra. Mikan l'arlo l'kiliakedim sha'olim be'echad u'masan. The sheer is 1 in 200. That's because it's kodesh. It's pentuktash. Kiliakedim and arlo is the most severe form of iser. It's an amazing concept. Why should that be so? When it comes to hekdish, it's only also 1 in 100. Comes to chulin, it's only also 1 in 2. And if there's flavor, so it's 1 in 60. But when it comes to the product of the earth, it's much more chomer. Why is that so? Think about it. There's a logic to it. Hegdish is something that you create. Okay, chulin, something which is chulin, so you get mixed up. You get mixed up with kosher, non-kosher. Those are natural things. In this world, there are natural things. There is kosher meat and there is non-kosher meat. Noach took into the teva the kosher animals and the non-kosher animals. In life, it happens. Things get mixed up. So therefore, ledin neter lemalachi ashares, Hashem says, okay, it's bottle, go basarayv, bottle barayv, 2 to 1. Then there is flavor. So flavor already, you can detect. That's the din de rabbanon. That's the rabbanon. You can detect it. I'm going to take it back. So hashal de rabbanon, de raisa, mi mashkei. The drasha. The drasha is mishras. Mishras avonin. So there's also a drasha. But it's 1 in 60. Kodesh. It's man's creation. It's a man-made object. Something. Everything that is kodesh in this world starts out mundane, and you as a human being, you go ahead and you sanctify it. What do you mean? Why not? Bukhar. So the truth is, the machlokes in the Gemara. The Gemara says that the full kedusha bukhar comes when the owner declares it to be a bukhar. Even though it's true that bidiyavet, if you do not declare it to be a bukhar, it still has kedushas peterechem. But there is a mitzvah to declare it, to give it an additional sanctity, to declare it a Bukhar. Okay, but he's saying God. He's saying that Bukhar, to some degree, is natural. It's Kodesh Merechem. Petarechem. Okay, you're saying good. You're saying good. But generally, Kodesh is something which you create. When it comes to Arla and Kiliah Kerem, this is a natural product of the earth. Okay, it's natural. You take two different seeds that grow together. The earth has produced this. Or the fruit for the first 3 years. This is the natural. Here, the Torah doesn't. There's no leeway. The prohibition is severe. It's severe. The bittul requires 1 in 200, because it's natural. Something which is natural to break the something which is natural. Obviously, the Torah demands the benchmark is much much higher to take away the sanctity of something which Hashem built into the world. Hashem does not want there to be klein, does not want there to be taruvis. The world was destroyed because all the minim were mixed, mingled with one another. So when this happens naturally, there's a problem in the world. There is a defect. There's a defect in the DNA of the world when you have taruvis. It's not something which man is sanctifying. You're playing with science. And when the fruit, the first 3 years, what's the lamdus of Arla? The lamdus of Arla is, don't take the fruit the first 3 years because you're weakening the tree. When a tree is developing, if you're going to start taking advantage and taking the fruits off the tree the first 3 years, Chazal say, it weakens the natural growth of the tree. A tree needs to develop. And pulling off the fruits of the tree the first 3 years, to some degree, it depletes it of its natural resources until the tree is mature and healthy. So the Torah, if you're going to start manipulating the nature, the Torah is saying you're in trouble. And the Torah is expressing that problem by showing the bittul for this object, which I've told you not to do, is 1 in 200 relative to anything else in the Torah, which at most will be 1 in 100. There's a lesson here. What? Okay. Let's now finish up here. Let's now go to Pasuk Tezayin. Now we start a new section. Okay, Pasuk Tezayin begins the Haftorah of Parshas HaChodesh. Okay, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This is the Haftarah. We're learning this every single... Wait, I'm sorry. We're going to make a mistake yet? Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's correct.
Okay, there's a question of where you start from. That's why I'm confused about this. The Ashkenazim, we start from Pasuk Tez Zayin. The Svardim start from Pasuk Yud Ches. Okay, but for Ashkenazim, this is where it begins. Kol Ha'am Haaretz. Kol Ha'am Haaretz Yiyu El Hatumah Hazayis. Lanosi bi Yisrael. So this simply means that every individual in the entire land shall provide this truma lanosi for the nasi bi Yisrael. Now there are different interpretations as to what this means. Let's just read the few psukim together. We'll read and see the mafarshim. Everyone has a different opinion what this means. Pasuk Yitzayin v'yal hanasi yeh. And al means for the nasi there shall be ha'olos v'hamincha. He will bring a special set of korbanos, the Melech HaMashiach, or according to some means the Kohen Gadol. That's also a very big debate. Is the nasi the Melech, or is the nasi the Kohen Gadol? He will bring a set of korbanos, olos hamincha v'hanesech, the wine that will be accompany the korbanos, b'chagim, during the shalosh regalim, uvechadoshim Rosh Chodesh, uvashabasos, the Chol Moadei Beis Yisrael, all of the festivals, Chu Yaseh Esachatos V'Esamincha V'Esoilu V'Esashlamim L'Chaper, to atone Ba'ad Beis Yisrael. Whole new set of rules. A whole new set of rules of what's going to be the Moshe Mashiach. The Melech HaMashiach, or the Kohen Gadol, is going to bring us a unique set of korbanos, and the one that's going to pay for the korbanos, it's going to be sponsored by Klal Yisrael. Let us see this in much more detail. The Pasuk Tez Zayin in the Metzudos David. Kol Ha'am. Ein mi naki mehem. Mitsudo says there is no individual in the entire Klal Yisrael that is exempt from the obligation to participate to pay for the carbon of the Melech. Kulam yitnu hatruma hazos. Everyone will give this truma. The af al hanasi. So he learns, not like what I told you. That's what we're going to say in Rashi, or maybe the Malbum says that. He learns that when it says here the nasi doesn't mean we're going to pay for the nasi. It means everyone is equal, even the Nasi. Even the Nasi must give a donation, the donation that we mentioned before, the donation of 1 in 200 for sheep, 1 in 60 for the grain, for the wheat and the barley, and the oil of Meiser of 1 in 10. Everyone must do this. V'af al ha-Nasi ha-B'Yisrael hu ha-Melech, who's the Nasi? So he says very clearly, hu ha-Melech. Gam all of law says ha-Truma ha-Zos, they must give this Truma. Yud-Zayin, V'al ha-Nasi.
It's difficult to understand. Giving truma, if it's that kind of truma, to a melech as opposed to...
No, not to a melech. According to the mitzudos say everyone has to give. Everyone has to give this truma, even the nasi. The nasi should not think that he is exempt.
I'm saying that must be the reason why he reinterprets it.
Because what do you mean?
Sounds like the lashon of the pasuk sounds like to the nasi, which would doesn't sound like the
Melech. Okay, so Al means in addition. Al, he interprets Al to mean Af. Af means the Al Hanasi. Also,
that's after that.
That's how the Mitzvah appears to interpret the word Al. Al means in addition. In addition, the Nasi also must bring, let's read the Pasuk Yitzayin, V'al ha-Nasi yiyeh, M'lovar ha-Truma yiyeh, Oid al ha-Nasi. See, so he's learning the next part in addition. In addition to the basics, he also must bring yiyeh Oid al ha-Nasi, Ha-Oilois, V'ha-Menachos, V'yayin, V'ha-Nesachim, Ha-Boim, V'ha-Chagim, V'chol Mo'ade, V'chol Ha-Yamim, Shem, No'odim, U'mis Asfim, Lovoi El Ha-Migdash, all the days when people come to the base of Migdash, V'heim, Chagim v'chodoshim v'shabosoyz v'chof l'adav v'miloshones hu yaser v'zin lomar mishalo yavi es kol eile. So he learns these two psukim together is that every single individual has to bring this gift, these gifts, and according to the Mitzudos David, the Mitzudos David says that he's learned that all of these gifts mentioned before are special inaugural gifts. Wait, is that what he said before? No, that's what he said before. Okay, whatever. Everyone must participate in these gifts, whatever they are, and the Nasi as well has an additional obligation.
Does it mean that he can't rely on his constituents or people? What is he? He asks, what's one? Shaloya, he asks me his own. He can't rely on
No, he had from his own assets. His own assets. He has to. He cannot tax the people to pay for these korbanos. He has to take from his own assets to bring the korbanos on the Moadim, on Shabbos, and on Rosh Chodesh. And he has to pay for these sacrifices from his own assets. And this in addition to what the people bring. The people bring their own korbanos, whatever they're required to bring, and he has to bring these additional korbanos. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi, yeah? It seems like special korbanos. I don't know. I really don't know. Let's see. Let's read some of the farshim. I didn't really prepare this too well. Let's see Rashi. Rashi. Let's see how he looks. Get a little more clarity. Pasuk Tezayin in Rashi. El haTruma Hazayis Hoamur Lamala. Rashi learns the Truma refers back to everything we mentioned back from Pasuk Yud Gimel to Pasuk Tezvah. That's really everything we did yesterday, which refers to giving Truma to the Kohanim and Meister to the Levim. Ladas kol am haaretz tiyeh. This shall be done ladas according to the knowledge, the understanding of every single person. Okay, so it seems that the truma hazos, no one should think that they're exempt. There's no individual in Klal Yisrael that is exempt from giving truma to the kohanim and ma'aseh to the levim. And then Pasuk Yud Zayin says v'al hanasi oimer ani. Rashi says shehanasi hazeh b'koyin gadol medaber. So he's coming here to disagree with the Mitzudos, and the Nasi is the Kohen Gadol. The Chain Kol Nasi is Shebu Inyin. Okay, he finally told us this now. We would have been a very great benefit to know this in the beginning, going back to being in Perek Mem Hei and Perek Mem Dalid. Rashi understands the word Nasi always refers to the Kohen Gadol, not the Melech. Even going back to the office. Do you remember we had the little office, little office inside the Beis HaMikdash on the right side, on the left side of the Heichal? Even that refers to the Kohen Gadol. V'shamati mishmoy shel Rabbi Menachem Sheva Melech Medaber. He acknowledges that this is not so simple, this is controversial, and he comes to point out that in Nechanami, others disagree. They look at the Radak. Radak says, Kol ha'am ha'aretz. B'cheshoin ha'smichos k'mo. Okay, this is a grammatical term. B'cheshoin ha'smichos k'mo ha'aroin ha'bris. Hakel beiskel, the hadayim lohem. This just means.
Why both words have a prefix hey?
Ha'am ha'aretz. Okay.
Yeah, instead of kol am ha'aretz.
Am ha'aretz. So there are two words. Just a grammatical style. Okay. The next one is important. Okay. The next one is important. Yiu el hatrum hazois lanasi biyishol. So he has a very different interpretation. He says it means. Bavur yasu kol Yisrael zos hatruma kiloimar bavur atzmam. They shall do this. Bavur atzmam kemosh amar lechaper alehem uvavur hanasi gam kein yasu zos hatruma. They shall bring this carbon for the nasi. The carbon hakoyhan mekvar zachu lemala. This cannot be a special carbon, inaugural carbon for the Kohanim, because that was mentioned back in Perek Mem Gimel. In Perek Mem Gimel, we learned about the Miluim. We learned about the special, unique carbonos that are going to be offered to inaugurate the Mizbeach. Eile chukos ha-Mizbeach b'yom he-o-so-so. The ato now zohar carbon ha-am u-min chasam. The hanosi lo yitztarech la-sos ba'ad atzmo. He will not have to pay for the carbonos, these inaugural carbonos. Ki Yisrael ya'asu ba'avuroi, because he will do it. They will pay for him. And then he goes on to say something very unique. V'chein hanos yaseh ba'avur Yisrael b'chagim uv'moadim k'mosh amar. There's some type of reciprocation during the time of the inauguration of the Beis Hamikdash of the Bayis Shlishi. Then Klal Yisrael will sponsor the korbanos of the nasi, but from here on in, it is the duty of the nasi to sponsor the special korbanos on the moadim in honor of the Jewish people. Okay, so that's how he learns. Very very novel interpretation of this pasuk. Pasuk Tezvah Tezayin says the generosity or the sponsorship of Klal Yisrael for the nasi. Pasuk Tezayin says, "Kol ha'am ha'aretz yiyu el hatruma hazos lanosi biYisrael." When the mizbeach will be erected, will be constructed, the Bayis Shlishi, and there's this list of Korbanos we mentioned in the previous Pesukim, it's going to be brought for the people who will bring their own Korbanos to inaugurate the Mizbeach, and they will sponsor the Korbanos of the Melech. It's going to be Lanasi. And now Pasuk Yud Zayin says, and how does the Nasi pay back? There's no free lunch, not even for the Nasi. There must be some reciprocation. There must be some reimbursement. So it says, that's right, he's going to pay good. He's going to pay for the rest of his life, Mikan Ul Haba, every Chag, every Moed and Chag in Rosh Chodesh, the Nasi is going to pay. V'yal HaNasi Yiyeh, the obligation to bring Ha'olois, V'hamincha, V'hanesech, V'chagim, U'v'chadoshim, U'v'shabasois, V'chol Mo'odei, HaBeis Yisrael, Hu Yase. He, the Nasi, will sponsor Esachatos, V'shamincha, V'shoilov, V'shashlamim, L'chaper, B'ar-Beis Yisrael. Okay? So this is a very novel interpretation of the reciprocation between Klal Yisrael. There's a relationship. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That's what's happening over here. What?
No, it's the first
Pasuk Tes Zayin says that the Jewish people will sponsor.
How long will that last?
One day, just for the it would appear just once. It would appear once, just when at the Chanukas Hamizbeach, Chanukas Hamikdash, and then in reciprocation for the generosity of the Jewish people, the Melech is makabel upon himself. Himself, Mikan Ul Haba, for all generations, every Yom Tov, every Shabbos, every Rosh Chodesh, he will sponsor a set of Korbanos in honor of Klal Yisrael, so they should achieve atonement. Now, what Korbanos are we discussing? I don't know. Obviously, we're dealing with something very, very...
How do you learn the latter part of the Pesach?
That's how he learns. That's exactly what the Malbim is coming. That's the difficulty.
Every chatas, a Jew sins every time
Mamash is. I know, obviously not. Obviously, it's something special. Obviously, it's something unique. I don't know. I really don't know. On Rosh Chodesh, you bring every Yom Tov, you bring a Sawyer. Every Yom Tov, you bring a Sawyer lechatas. Not on Shabbos. Shabbos, there is no chatas. On Yom Tov, there is a chatas. And that chatas is the Tumas, Mikdosh, Vikodoshav. The truth is that is in case a person entered into the Beis HaMikdash while he was Tameh, B'shoigig, he needs Kapara. Is that the Chadash that we discussed, he's going to pay for it? Don't we have a tradition that carbon is paid by the Machsa Shekel? All of the Korbanos HaTzibur are paid by the Machsa, by Klal Yisrael. So we're saying there's a new order, there's a new set of rules that are going to take place by Mashiach. Also, what does it mean Shabbos? On Shabbos, there is no carbon Chadash. On Shabbos, you order, on Shabbos, Shnei Chvasim B'nei Shanatimim, and you just bring Shnei Chavasim, you bring Oilos, you bring for the Musafim on Shabbos, just there is no Chatas on Shabbos.
There's no Shlom either.
There's no Shlom either, not on Shabbos either.
What do you do with the Korbanos on each Jew's Mechayev,
Shlom? I don't know. I really don't know. So those are Oilos Shriya. It's not at all clear which Korbanos that we are discussing. Let's see the Malbim. One more interpretation to go on. Ralph, how he learns these two very, very difficult psukim. It's a very, very unclear what is going on here in these two psukim. Pasik tez zayin, kol am haaretz yu el atrumah hazos lanasi. Uvzeh, every individual in the Malbim says, uvzeh yu kilu hatzibur mevim oysan b'shutafus. Achar shekulam nosnu chelkom al yidei kein. He seems to say something very different. Is that everyone is a partner. How they are partner doesn't say how. Because of the Machsa Shekel? I don't know, it doesn't say. Since everyone has to give, Truma has to give a gift, it's as if the entire Klal Yisrael is giving. Pasuk Yud Zayin. He's not explaining, though, what it means at the end of the Pasuk, Lanosi Bi Yisrael. The Malbim leaves that out. He totally leaves that out. And then he goes on to say the Malbim v'al hanasi yes mutul ha'olos ha'mincha v'anasachem shakol ha'shana hatmidim shemivim la'olah b'chol yoyim yuvlu mikupas hanasi. A whole new rule. We are very familiar that there is a requirement to bring machzis ha'shekel, and the machzis ha'shekel guarantees that every single day when you bring the tamid shel shachar, tamid shel ben harbayim, it is coming from the assets of every single member of Klal Yisrael. The Malbim says when Mashiach comes, that order is going to change. That the Talmud that's offered every single day will be paid for by the Nasi. How could that be? How could there be a new rule, a new set of rules? Well, that's what it says. And notice, this is what we're leaning on Shabbos Parashas HaChodesh, the Shabbos that precedes Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the time when the Kohanim would begin to take to offer the Korbanos from the Truma Chadasha. Everyone in Klal Yisrael would send in a Machtzis HaShekel from the beginning of Chodesh Adar. It would arrive in the Beis HaMikdash, and they had a kupa, they had a big chest of all of the Machtzis HaShekel of the entire Klal Yisrael, and on Rosh Chodesh Nisan would be the day when they would start purchasing the Korbanos from the Machtzis HaShekel from the new collection. And we are laning on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, even though that's what was done in the past, according to the Malbim, when Mashiach will come, we're no longer going to bring Machtzis HaShekel. The Machtzis HaShekel maybe won't even bring it all together, but the Korbanos of the Tzmidim and the Musafim is going to be paid for by the Nasi. Isn't that amazing? You're reading on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, in the understanding of the Malbim, a new rule that's going to be put into play that is completely different than everything that we are familiar with from the Torah. But again, that's only according to the parish of the Malbim. But according to everything else that we've seen, Rashi and the Mitzudos and the Radak, that's not what it's discussing. We're not even discussing the Tzmidim and the Musa. We're discussing a separate set of Korbanos that are going to be offered as a gift to inaugurate the Mikdash, to inaugurate the Mizbeach, and that will be offered on a special, unique set of Korbanos that will be offered on all of the Moadim. Okay, but that is very unique interpretation. And then he concludes down the Malbim. Yase hanosi mikisoy es oilo v'yeitzu bo hatzibur achar shekulo mishtatfu bo. They all consider to be partners with the Melech.
So they paid also?
It doesn't say that. No, they see. I don't know. I don't know what it means. It means that maybe the Nasi says, I don't. My money should be on behalf of the whole Klal Yisrael. The money that I donate for the purpose of these Korbanos, I'm relinquishing ownership of this asset. It should be a gift to the entire Klal Yisrael. So it should be considered that they also have ownership in these assets. But that, so what, that would mean that there's no need to give the Machtzis HaShekel. Maybe that's correct. I don't know.
He has a special contribution.
Okay, so before we go on, let's just recap. We learned four of the major commentators of what are these two psukim referring to. According to the Mitzudos, it means that no one is an exception. We mentioned in the previous psukim there is a unique off gift. There's a unique set of rules, whether it's Truma and Meiser, or Aseh, Echad min hamosayim. And these two psukim are just coming to teach us no one is an exception to the requirement to give truma, maaser, aseh, echad min hamosayim. It includes the common man and the melech. The melech is not an exception. Pasuk Tezayin says, kol ha'om ha'aretz, no special characters out there. No one should think they're special. Even Pasuk Yudzayin, v'al hanasiyyeh, he's also required to do this. No one's unique. According to Rashi, Rashi says, first of all, it's not the Melech. That's the first thing Rashi points out. We're dealing with the Kohen Gadol, and it's when it says he actually adds in one word which is not really clear what he means. Ledas, kol ha'om ha'aretz means ledas kol am ha'aretz tia. This should be done with the knowledge of the Jewish people. What does that mean? I have no idea what that means. And then when it says Nasi, Rashi doesn't really say, he doesn't really tell us what's going on. Rashi just says, by the way, Tzemach Leikis, is the Nasi the Melech, or is the Nasi the Koyen Gadol? He's not really giving us a Hezber in the Pasuk. The Radak, he learns that, to review, the Radak said, is that there's going to be reciprocation. There's some type of reciprocation. When the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, Klal Yisrael will sponsor the carbon of the Nasi. And in honor of their sponsoring the carbon of the Nasi, he will reciprocate. And when it comes Shabbos, Yom Tov, Moadim, he will then reciprocate and sponsor Korbanos of Klal Yisrael. What Korbanos are we discussing? It's a mystery. Malbim says there's going to be a new order. We think that we are so familiar that the Tzmidim, the Musafim, must come from the Truma Chadasha of the Machzis HaShekel. No, there's a new rule going to take place when Mashiach comes. The one that's going to pay for all of the Korbanos will be the Nasi. It's going to come out of his deep pockets. And he will be Makdish, the money to the Tzibur, so we should be considered the Mishutafim in the Tzmidim and the Musafim. Next, Pasuk Chol Yitches, Koy Amar Hashem Elokim. Now we're going to describe the days. We're going to review the order. There's a lot of stuff here. There's a lot of calculations of numbers, which I think. What?
The Sardim
start after that, right? The Sardim? Oh, yeah. This is where the Sardim start. Yitches is where the Haftarah for the Sardim begin. Right? We do two Pesukim before. Pasuk Yitches, Koy Amar Hashem Elokim Borishayim. On the first month, what is Rishon? Well, the truth is, this is subject to debate. We always assume Rishon means Chodesh Rishon, word Chodesh Nisan, but maybe Rishon means Chodesh Tishrei. Okay, so Pasha says Chodesh Nisan, Biyachod La Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Tikach, you shall take par ben makar tamim. You shall take a par tamim complete. V'chiteisa, and you shall atone es hamikdash. You shall offer it to bring atonement to the mikdash. Pasuk Yutes. V'lokach hakohen midam hachatos.
This is the inauguration.
Yes, this is the par, the inaugural par that we learned about in Perek Mem Gimel. Okay, in Perek Mem Gimel, it said Pasuk Yutes. We don't have to turn there, but Pasuk Yutes said Vayomer Hashem. Pasuk Yutes said Vayomer Elai Ben Adam. Koyomer Hashem Elokim. I just told you the dimensions of the Mizbeach, what it looks like. What will be the carbon? Okay, I'm jumping ahead of the Pasuk. Let's jump. V'nosata el ha-koyhanim ha-levim asherhem mizera tzadik ha-korevim elai numashem l'shoseni par ben bokar l'chatos v'lokachta midamo v'nosata al arba karnoisav, the al arba pinois hazara, on the four sides of the surface. Azara does not mean the chamber, does not mean the Beis Hamikdash. Azara here meant the four corners of the surface of the Mizbeach, the horizontal surface. This is unique. You never ever have a Hechatimsa in the Torah where you put blood on the floor of the Mizbeach. Blood is always put on the corners of the Mizbeach or on the wall of the Mizbeach. Lamala michut asikra, lamata michut asikra, on the corners, on the wall. Shvicha, on the yesod, on the foundation. But when do you ever put blood on the horizontal surface of the Mizbeach? This is the only time. The only time you do this is right here. That's what it says in the Pasuk Chav, the El Gvul Hasadah. Then you put blood on the Gvul, on the boundary, on the edge. V'chiteisao, so you will atone, or you will purify. V'chiteisao means you will purify the Mizbeach, v'chipar tohu, and you will bring atonement. So here, seemingly, in this Pasuk, we are describing the same carbon mentioned back in Perek Mem Gimel. It's just reviewing it. What it's adding here in this Pasuk is giving you the date. There is obviously some repetition, at least according to the civil understanding, but what it's coming to fill in is what day of the year will this take place. It will take place on the first day of Chodesh Nisan. So let's see, Pasuk Yutes, V'lokach HaKohen Midam, the Kohen will take Midam from the blood of HaChatos, V'nosan, he will put El Mizuzas HaBayis. So here it says something more that did not say in the previous part before. The Mizuzas means the Mizuzah is the doorway to the Beis HaMikdash, the El Arba Pinos HaZara, La Mizbeach, this we mentioned before, on the four corners of the horizontal surface of the Mizbeach, the Al Mizuzah Shar Hechotzer HaPrimis, and on the post of the gate of the Chotzer HaPrimis. Now, a lot here is going on. Let's see, and obviously there's going to be a lot of interpretation here, a lot of different opinions. So let's see what it says here in the Mefarshim. Pasuk Yudches Nimitzudos David. Okay, so we start off Barishain Bachoidesh Harishain, which is Chodesh Nisan. You shall take Tikach Par. So the Mitsudo says, what I just read for you, this Par, do not get confused, is the same Par that we learned about back in Perek Mem Gimel. After the Psukim concluded telling us the very minute details of what the Mizbeach looks like, the size, the dimension, all of the various details, which as we discussed at great length, is very different, not very, but it's different than the Mizbeach of the Bayis Sheni, and it's different than the Mizbeach of the Bayis Rishon, and it's different than the Mizbeach of the Mishkan. Okay, this is the fourth edition of the Mizbeach. Realize that. The fourth edition. There was the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is very well described in the Art Scroll Mishkan book with all the beautiful pictures, and that itself is subject to a lot of debate, how tall it was and all the different opinions. And then there's the Mizbeach of the Bayis Rishon of Shlomo HaMelech, and then there is the Mizbeach of the Bayis Sheni, and they're different. And now we have the Mizbeach of the Bayis Shlishi, four editions of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is man. Man has evolved. Whoever says that there's no such thing as evolution is making a mistake. Man comes from the earth. There's Yecheskel's version. There's what's his name? I forget. Darwin's version of evolution. And then there is Yecheskel's version of evolution. And Yecheskel has four states of man. It starts off Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach, goes to Shlomo's Mizbeach, it goes to the Mizbeach of Ezra and Nehemiah, and then comes to the Mizbeach of Yecheskel. Each Mizbeach represents man, because man is a product of Ofar Min Ha'adama, which Adama? The Adama of the Mizbeach. So man is a product of the Mizbeach, and therefore you want to understand man. There are four editions of man throughout history. And what do you do when you finish building the Mizbeach? You offer a special set of korbanos, which was mentioned in Perek Mem Gimel. And that was what was unique about the Bayis Shlishi. There's not just going to be a par, there's also going to be an ayil. The ayil is new. There was no ayil in the Torah by Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no ayil by Shlomo. And by Sheni, we don't even know what it was. There was no aisle. The only time you can have an aisle is going to be by Yecheskel in his edition. And here we're referring back to what it said there.
Are you saying a limb were never offered?
What? No, they were offered, but there was no inaugural Elim. By the Miluim. Go back. That's the Nisim. The Nisim was something different. But by that was inauguration of sorts for the Mishkan. For the Mishkan, but it was not an inauguration, it was not a sanctification of the Mizbeach. Okay, there is something you do for the Mizbeach, and there's something that you do for the Mikdash. Okay, we have to tackle, go back and now get an appreciation to study exactly which was done for what. But here, we're learning about, now again, this is going to get very confusing, as you see there's a lot of commentary here, and here you see that the Mitzvah stuff, what?
If you go back to Mem Gimel,
it's not the same. Exactly, that's what he's going to point out. So he's saying a mouthful. The Mitzvah David says, first of all, you should be aware that we're dealing with the same power. Question. Well, so why repeat? Why are you repeating it? So first of all, what it's telling you over here, that right off the bat, obviously, the main thing that it's teaching you is the date, the calendar date. Next thing is that it's teaching you that the blood is sprinkled in different places, that it did not say there. There it only focused on where you sprinkle the blood on top of the Mizbech, on the corners, on the four, the horizontal surface, and on the Gvul. The Gvul meant along, I guess, the edge of the Mizbech. And here it says, no, take the blood and do like they did by Yitzias Mitzrayim. Al Hamashkoif, Yal Sheha Mezuzois. By the entranceway, go out into the entranceway to the Azara, the Chatzar HaChitzayna, the Chatzar HaPnimis, and I want you to apply blood to the post, to the doorway. Now, which doorway? On the east side, on the southern side, the north side. Where exactly are you applying this blood? Let's see. Let's go slow. So the Mitzvah here says, first of all, Uapar Hamol Mala, Nasato Par Ben Makor Lachatas, Yata Bolema Shachino Chiyeh Bi'echol Lachodesh. The main point we're making here is the first day of the month. Harishonu perash oid ma shechisa lamala, and we're coming to fill in more details. V'chi teisa, you'll purify. B'zet titaher es hamikdash. by bringing this carbon, you're going to sanctify not just the Mizbeach, you're going to sanctify the Mikdash. Now notice that's the difference. That already is a very important difference to understand. It's one carbon that serves two functions. Back in Perek Mem Gimel, we focused on what it did to sanctify the Mizbeach. In this Pasuk, it's coming to focus on how it also sanctified the Mikdash. Two birds with one stone. You're offering one carbon, and you're putting the blood on the Mizbeach, and you're sanctifying the Mizbeach, and you're sanctifying the Mikdash. Chanukah, the only we sanctified the Mizbeach. They did not re-sanctify the Beis HaMikdash. Oz Egmor Bashir Mizmar Chanukas HaMizbeach. It was a rededication, a re-sanctification of only the Mizbeach, not the Mikdash. The Mikdash was defiled. The Mikdash was full of idols. It took a long time, it says, to clean out the whole Beis HaMikdash from all of the idols that the Yevanim brought into the Beis HaMikdash. But the only thing that they demolished and rebuilt and re-sanctified was the Mizbeach. Back in Perek Mem Gimel, we learned about the sanctification of the Mizbeach. Now we're learning a new insight that same carbon that sanctified the Mizbeach also served the Chitei Soes HaMikdash. And that's why now we're adding new details to this carbon, which relate primarily not to the Mizbeach, but the sanctification of the Mikdash. Okay, so he goes on, V'chitei sub zetares ha-Mikdash, you tie the Mikdash. Okay, Pasuk Yutes says, ha-Boyis. Okay, the Boyis, now we have to go very careful, because see, everyone can have a different interpretation of these words. Ha-Boyis means hu-ha-Hechol. You're going to put them, avinosan al-Mizuzas ha-Bayis. What is the Bayis? The Bayis is the Hechol. When you enter into the Hechel, that's where the menorah, the Mizbeach Hazav, the Shulchan, that chamber. You put blood on the posts of the Hechel. Then it says, Pinois Hazara la Mizbeach, Zavios Midfus Binyin Gag ha Mizbeach. You put blood on the surface of the Mizbeach. Okay, that refers to the Mizbeach, the main Mizbeach, and then it says, Echotra Pnimis, Hu Ezras Anoshim. And then you put blood on the doorpost of the Chotzer HaPnimis. Okay, so the blood is being applied to three locations. Now, if you take this Pasuk together with what it said back in Perek Mem Gimel, there it taught us that blood was also applied on the Mizbeach to the corners and the Gevul. Let me just go back quickly there to Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Pasukhaf. Okay, so it says he put the Mizbeach al arba karnoisav on the corners, the al arba pinois huazara. That is the same. The pinois huazara Pasukhaf is the same as what it says in Pasukhaf, Perek Mem Gimel Pasukhaf. Is the same what it says in Pasuk Yutes that we have just learned, the Arba Pinois Hoazara LaMizbeach. And then what we do not have is a third application to the Mizbeach, the El HaGivul Saviv. Now that was also, I remember, subject to dispute. So he learns here in Pasuk the Mitzudos and Pasuk Chaf, back in Perek Mem Gimel, the Givul Saviv Yitochen. So right away, the fact that he says the word Yitochen, if the Mitzudos David uses the word Yitochen, he's coming to admit, I don't really know what it means. Right? Back in Perek Mem Gimel, the Mitzudos David says, I don't really know what the words there mean, the Gvul. Sha'al ha-Yisoid Nemar, Shu b'Gvul ha-Mizbeach. Rashi there said, doesn't say anything. Okay, Rashi was smart. Rashi didn't want to get involved. And the Radak, what does he say? So he says that's in our pasuk. No, not necessarily. Haniskeres.
Back in Perek Gimel, the
doc
says it's
Gvul Azar. No, so what is Azar? Azar means the surface. Azar does not mean the room. It means the surface. The Azar means, like we said, the Gvul Azar means you put along the edge of the Mizbeach. Okay, two different interpretations. Okay, so basically. What comes out, at least according to the Mitzudos, like the sake of simplicity, like the Mitzudos, is that in back in Perek Mem Gimel, we learn that the blood of this par is applied to three parts of the Mizbeach. The corners, the four corners. Number two, it's applied to the edges of the horizontal surface. On the horizontal surface of the Mizbeach, you put blood along the four corners, not on the corner itself, but on the flat horizontal surface, in the four corners of the Mizbeach, and then you put blood on the Yisoid, on the foundation of the Mizbeach. Here, in Perek Memhei, it makes mention that blood will be applied to the Mizbeach, but only mentions one of the applications. Not the corner, and not the foundation, but the horizontal surface. And then it mentions here another two applications of blood to the doorposts leading into the Heichel and the doorposts leading into the Chotzer HaPenimis. What's the difference between these two perokim, these two? What is the focus? Is the focus for the sanctification of the Mizbeach, or is the focus for the sanctification of the Mikdash? Perek Mem Gimel, we're focusing on the sanctification of the Mizbeach, and Perek Mem Hey, we're focusing on the sanctification of the Mikdash. Where is there overlap between the Mizbeach and the Mikdash? The overlap is the horizontal surface of the Mizbeach. The horizontal surface of the Mizbeach, on one hand, is a sanctification for the Mizbeach, but on the other hand is also a sanctification for the Mikdash, which then means the corners. The corners is only for the Mizbeach, and the Yisoid is only for the Mizbeach. The doorposts of the Heichel and the doorposts of the Chatzar HaPnim is only for the Mikdash. So this is what these Pesukim are telling us, at least according to the Perush of the Mitzvahs. Okay, let's see Rashi, we'll stop, we'll do the Radak tomorrow with all the dates. A lot of complications with the dates, exactly when is this, is a very important book, because over here it's telling us something which is a problem. Let's just see the first of Rashi, Pasuk Yudches. Yudches and Rashi, Koyam Hashem Elokim Barishim Echad LaChodesh Tikach Par Ben Mekar Tamim Hu Par HaMiluim HaAmor B'Rosh Hashanah. So he right away, just like the Mitzvah says, do not get confused. This is not a special par. This is the same par we learned about back in Perek Mem Gimel when we finished describing the architecture of the Mizbeach. The Limeid Kan Sheyu HaMiluim Barishim B'Nisan, and the primary Chiddush of this pasuk is to teach you the date. This will take place on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Not like the Mitzudos who added in, and also to fill in some details, and also the Mitzudos added in the nice little detail, the focus here is the sanctification of the Mikdash, not the sanctification of the Mizbeach. V'chitesa, v'tihartan, you'll purify. Okay, before we conclude, just wanted to point out is that we'll get into this tomorrow from the Malbim, very low Malbim, Lotham Radak, and that is we have different conflicting Mamari Chazal as to when the Bayis Shlishi will be, Mashiach will come. We don't know anything, when will Mashiach come, when will Eliyahu come, when will the Beis HaMikdash come down from heaven, when will the Beis, if it will be built by us, when will it be built, and there are some Mamari Chazal which seem to indicate that it's not going to happen in Chodesh Nisan, it's going to happen Tisha B'Av. It's going to happen Tishrei. It's going to happen. There are many Mamar Chazal. We don't really know how all these things come into play, but not every Mamar Chazal is consistent with what appears to be over here. Is that the Beis Hamikdash, the inauguration, is going to take place on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? That's not a kasha. All the Farshim say can very well be that the Beis Hamikdash will be operational for a whole year, for a very long time. The Beis Hamikdash will be built. Everything will be done, and korbanos will be offered. But the date that will be set aside for the Chanukas, HaMikdash will be dedicated for Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Like today, let's say you build a new shul. Every so often you have a community, they build a beautiful new shul, they move into the shul, they're davening there for a couple of weeks, couple of months, and then they dedicate a Sunday, a nice Sunday in the spring, whenever it is, when everyone comes back from their vacation, and we're going to have a beautiful Chanukas Habayis. We've been in the shul for a couple of months. We've been in the shul for a year. This, like a rabbi, you have a hachtorah. you have an installation. The rabbi is already serving his post already for 6 months, but you dedicate a certain day in the year, everyone should come together to make it official and to celebrate. It's exactly the way it's going to be by the Beis HaMikdash. This does not mean, it's very interesting, this idea, because when it comes to, because here's the point I want to make, is when it came to the Mishkan, it's a very big difference. When it came to the Mishkan, it would appear, if at face value, the very first time they offered Karbonis for the first time, was after the Miluim. Chazal say, they finished the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, when? Chaf Hei Kislev. Okay, today is what? Today's Gimel? What's today? Today's Gimel. So Chaf Hei Kislev. They finished construction. Everything was ready to go. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Okay, Rabbi Yisai, take a break. We're not going to have, there's no base Mishkan, there are no Korbanos. We're going to leave the Mishkan in a state of limbo. We're going to leave it. It's not going to be erected. We're just going to leave it in storage. We're going to leave it in storage. It's not going to be put up. And until when? Until Rosh Chodesh? Until Chaf Hei? Until Chaf Gimel? Chaf Gimel? Nisa Adar? We're going to wait until Chaf Gimel Adar. The Mishkan was ready to go. All systems go. Chaf Hei Kislev. No, put it in storage. Put it in storage. Chaf Gimel Adar, Moshe erected the Mishkan. He took it apart, erected it. He did this 7 days in a row until the 8th day. He let it remain, and then they began to offer korbanos on Rosh Chodesh Nisan for the next 12 days. And from then on, they started for the very first time to bring the korbanos, the Talmid Shel Shachar, Talmid Shel Ben Arbayim. In the Bayis Shlishi, according to what we're going to see, that's not going to be like that. We're going to build the Beis HaMikdash ASAP and get it going. Right away, bring Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Ben Harabayim. Right away, bring all the Korbanos of the Moadim and the Musaf and the Tzmidim, whatever we have to do. And if that happens to be Chaf Hei Kislev, Gezunt Heit, when will we bring the Miluim, the special Korbanos that are going to inaugurate the Mikdash, the Bayis Shlishi, Rosh Chodesh Nisan? The inaugural korbanos is not an ikuv, is not going to hold us back from offering korbanos immediately. Why? Because the truth is, we already are obligated to bring korbanos back from the time of the Mishkan. The fact that we don't bring it today is only because we don't have an onus. But once we can rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, we will continue. Here's the lamdas. The lamdas is, here's the chiddush. The lamdas is that when we rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to bring korbanos that have the din, have the sanctity of korbanos of a bayis sheni. The Beis HaMikdash that's going to be, this is what's going to come out from the Radak and the Malam tomorrow. The Beis HaMikdash that we're going to rebuild it's not the bayis shlishi. It's going to look like, it's going to be the Bayis Shlishi, it's going to have the architecture of the Bayis Shlishi, but it's going to have the din, the lamdash din, like Rav Chaim, the lamdash din of a Bayis Sheni. We're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash with all the bells and whistles, everything that we've learned in Sefer Yecheskel, and it's going to have look like the Bayis Shlishi, but in Halacha, it's going to have the status of the Bayis Sheni. How long will that exist? Well, let's say, for argument's sake, we build it and Tisha B'Av. Let's say Tisha B'Av, a miracle happens, the Beis HaMikdash comes out of heaven, and on Tisha B'Av, the day after Tisha B'Av, right away we start bringing korbanos. Day after Tisha B'Av. Very good. Beautiful, what looks like a Bayis Shlishi. We're going to bring korbanos to have the din of the Bayis Sheni, and we're going to bring these korbanos all the way over Nisan, Av, Elul, Tishrei, Cheshvan, all the way until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we're going to offer the special Miluim, the special Korbanos, the Par and the Ayil, that's mentioned back in Perek Mem Gimel, and that at that moment in time will upgrade the structure from a din of Bayis Sheni to a din of Bayis Shlishi. L'may Nafkamina. There are nafkaminas. The nafkaminas are some of the things that we touched upon before in the previous parak. There might be some new laws new laws like Kohanim. A Kohen, we learn, can't eat. A Kohen, can dress differently. What are going to be the uniform of the Kohanim? Do the Kohanim, do they wear, is the belt going to be Shanes, not Shanes? Well, in the Bayis Sheni, the Kohanim wore one type of belt. Is a Kohen allowed to eat a Nevela? All of the new laws, according to the Radak and according to the Mesudos, are first going to go into play only after the Chinuch of the Bayis Shlishi. But the Bayis Shlishi will first be built and will be operational. And when it will be operational, it will be operational midin with the laws of the Bayis Sheni. And then when you get to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we're going to offer. And who says it's going to be the first Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Maybe it will be the second Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Mashiach will come, we'll build a Beis HaMikdash, and maybe until we'll get around, until the Kohanim, the Gedolei Hador, will decide we're ready, maybe it will be 10 years. We're not yet ready. We need some training. We need to get our act together. We need to get, you know, we need to get with the program. Get to learn all the halachas. You right away roy for the Bayis Shlishi. We'll build the Bayis Shlishi because the architecture has to be the Bayis Shlishi. But it'll have a din, a chalois, Bayis Sheni, with all of the laws that are relevant to Bayis Sheni. And maybe it'll be 10 years, maybe 20 years, until the Gedolei Hador decide we're ready. We're ready. And then when it will become Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we'll offer the Karbanos of the Miluim, which will now upgrade. Okay, it's like you download an upgrade to your computer, upgrade the system to a new version.
3.0.
Okay, exactly. Whatever you've upgraded the version, a new version, Android, version 7, they're up there, right? Do the download. So the version to a chalois of a Bayis Shlishi. And then all of the new spiritual and halachic concepts that are unique to the Bayis Shlishi will first kick in. Okay, because hey, you have a date. You can't ignore a date. But yet we have some Mari Chazal that seem to tell us, what are you talking about, Rosh Chodesh Nisan? We have dates that are mashma in Tishrei. We have dates mashma Tisha B'Av. We have all different dates. What's going on over here? Not a kasha. Hayaluchud v'hayaluchud, but it opens up a new idea of a Bayis Sheni, then an upgrade to a Bayis Shlishi, and it's not muchach. It has to happen immediately. It could be when we're ready.
The same was with the Bayis Sheni. It was built.
Exactly. The Bayis Sheni was built. They put up curtains.
Yeah.
They put up curtains and they started bringing Korbanos immediately. The truth is, today we can bring Korbanos. We can do the same thing today. Today, if we were able to, technically, we should bring a Korban Pesach. There's no reason why we cannot bring a Korban Pesach b'zman hazeh. You can bring Korban, you put up curtains. And you make a decision, an educated decision, where is the Makom HaMikdash, based upon the best information that we have available to us. There'll be a Machlekes, of course. Where is the Makom HaMikdash? Well, you have a Sanhedrin. You go Basarayv. You'll take the greatest Talmidei Chachamim, and you'll look at all of the data, all of the information that we have available, and the majority of the Sanhedrin will decide. Our assessment is, this is the Makom HaMizbeach. Is it the Dome of the Rock? Is it not done with the rock? Is it over here? Is it over there? We'll make a decision based upon the roiv of the Sanhedrin. Not everyone's going to agree, but you have to follow the roiv. This is the Makom HaMizbeach. Clean it all out. Put up curtains. And we can bring Karban Pesach. Oh, we're Tamei? Tzor v'Hotru B'Tzibur. Kohanim Yuchasim. You find the best you can find. Le'nin Neter L'Malachi HaShareis. There's a lot of discussion about this. Is technically speaking, if we can't do this because the world will be, World War III will break out in a heartbeat if he would try to do this because of the Arab nations, and they would see that we're doing over there. But technically speaking, it can be done. If there would be peace, Ula Shalom Ein Kates. One of the most important things that Mashiach people forget is Ula Shalom Ein Kates. Lamar Behamish Ula Shalom Ein Kates is not positively mastic what it means, peace. Peace in the world, no machlokes.
But wouldn't they be destroyed?
Kates. Not necessarily, some yes, some not. Okay, so we'll pick this up tomorrow.